It's time for Brother Larry's Sinner's Sunday. Oh yeah. You tell him, Larry. Brother Larry coming at ya.
Thank you, Brother Dre. Thank you, Lariats. Welcome, everybody. Welcome. This special edition of Sinner's Sunday is a triage for St. Paddy's Day revelers. I see a lot of red eyes and furrowed brows here today. Were we overserved yesterday? First we wear the green, then we hurl the green. For those of you joining us for the first time, this is a place unlike any other. There's hot barbecue outside, cold beer inside, and salvation all around us. There's no dress code here. You can say anything you like. So grab a beverage and settle into one of those comfy recliners. We don't have any ass punishing benches here. We know you take enough punishment everywhere else. So I know this guy who's getting screwed over at his place of employment, and he described how he was summoned to a meeting with his boss's boss, some pinhead from human resources too. Whoa! Stop the presses. Let's just have a quick audio cutaway to Dirty Harry's opinion of human resources, which once upon a time was called personnel.
Personnel? That's for assholes.
That's right. At risk of alienating those who may toil in the realm of human resources, it is pretty much for assholes. They're not there to resource anything. They're there to make sure you get fired according to the fuck 'em over handbook, so you can't sue them. That's what Inhuman Resources is mostly about. And so I thought about this guy and how he had to sit there in this meeting while he was literally ganged up on. How many times in life do we find ourselves in that exact position? Surrounded, outgunned, outnumbered. It's the worst goddamn position any of us can be in our entire lives. And when it happens, and it will happen, how can we be ready? Seems the Bible covers every situation we ever face in life, including having to transform ourselves into the one-man gang. I just love that term. And the Bible story that most closely mirrors these situations is, of course, Daniel and the Lion's Den. So first thing you have to wonder about was that den. What exactly was that? Was there some kind of Siegfried and Roy show, and they had a condo for the cats in the act? The story happened in Persia, not Rome, so they weren't for the Colosseum, and anyway, Christians hadn't yet been invented. But okay, they had a lion's den. So how did Daniel wind up there? Politics, of course. He was a politician himself, which means he was probably an asshole. And he and two other guys reported directly to King Darius. And reporting to Daniel and his two colleagues were around 100 robed and ringed dudes called satraps. Isn't that a fun word? Satrap. Sounds like an insult, doesn't it?
Hey, should we invite Mikey to the game?
Christ, no, that guy's a fucking satrap.
Satraps kept an eye on things around the kingdom and collected taxes and so on. And they were a bunch of corrupt little shits, and they heard that Darius was going to make Daniel second in command, and then they'd all be reporting to him, and they didn't like that. So what did they do? They cooked up a law, same as those little shits in Congress do. Probably made it over 1,000 pages long, and presented it to King Darius, who was not the sharpest tool in the shed. And the law flattered the idiot king, saying that for 30 days, nobody could pray to any god except the king. Darius signed off on that in a hot minute. Anybody caught praying to anybody but the king was to be fed to the lions. Well, Daniel wasn't really down with that stuff, and so he did his customary praying, and the satraps sent some little shitbag spies around to Daniel's crib, who then squealed on him, and now idiot King Darius has to uphold the moron law he just signed off on. And presto, Daniel finds himself up to his ass in cat shit and fur and big sharp teeth. According to the Bible, he prayed hard, and God sent an angel who threw some lockjaw on the felines, and Danny got out of there in one piece. Cute story, right? Best part is that later, Daniel managed to flip the king on the punks who betrayed him, and the guys who plotted against him, they were flung into the lion's den, along with their wives and children. Ah, payback's a bitch, especially in that Old Testament. So if you ever felt like you're in the lion's den, I have, and I bet you have too. Surrounded by hostile forces. People trying to, if not eat you alive, at least tear your face off. It can be anywhere. School, work, even at home. How many divorced fathers listening to me right now have been vilified to the kids by a pissed off wife and her entire tribe? But as awful as those situations are, they are nothing compared to somebody who finds themselves in the jaws of the legal system. There is an alarming number of people who are locked up because they essentially found themselves in a lion's den solamente. And there was no angel on call to muzzle the damn cats. On the few occasions I do watch TV, it might be these 48 hours or Dateline things. And it's just sickening when you see how some cop or DA or assistant DA just decides that some hapless guy is guilty and marshals an entire fucking legal system against one guy to deprive him of his freedom, or maybe his life. Happens all the time. Another lion's den can be the medical bureaucracy, now more fucked up than ever because of socialized medicine. God help anybody who finds themselves incapacitated in a hospital without some friend or advocate to watch over them and speak for them. I've seen that show up close and personal, and it can be a nightmare. Anybody who finds themselves squaring off with any bureaucracy, from the DMV to the IRS to an insurance company or an academic institution, is in for the fight of their lives. When we find ourselves in these perilous situations, what do we do? Well, if you know God's Twitter handle, that would be a smart time to use it, but if you don't, he does love those who help themselves, does he not? That reminds me of the guy who lives in a flood zone and a hurricane hits. When the water is just a few inches deep, the cops come around and tell him to evacuate because the water is rising really fast. And the guy says, God will provide. A couple hours later, and the first floor of his house is submerged. Now, he's looking out a second-floor window, and a rescue crew cruises by in a rubber boat, and they beg him to climb in because the water is still rising. And he tells them, God will provide. An hour after that, he's on the roof of his house, up to his neck in water, with his arms wrapped around the chimney. That's when a helicopter appears, and somebody drops a rope ladder and yells at him to climb in. And he says, God will provide. A couple hours later, he's dead, drowned. And he looks at God and says, Why did you let me drown? And God says, I sent a cop, a boat, and a helicopter, you fucking moron. So before we find ourselves in that lion's den, have we in some way engineered our plight? You have to wonder, why the hell didn't Daniel do his praying in the basement or silently? Could he have avoided that visit to the lion's den? Indubitably. But once we do find ourselves facing some insurmountable odds, what can we do to even them out? I used to live on the south shore of Long Island, and not too far away was this fantastic bar. Ooh, actually, it was so big it had like 5 bars with 2 or 3 rock bands playing in different wings. The joint was enormous, and right on the water. There was a little cove with a long, narrow wooden dock, and beyond was the mighty Atlantic Ocean. So one moonlit night, I'm there with my pals in search of pointy chicks. And we're on the wraparound deck outside chugging beer, and we see a ruckus in the parking lot. And there are 8 or 9 guys really pissed off and cursing and chasing one dude. He was a pretty big guy, built like Popeye's nemesis, Bluto. He's no marathoner, and they're gaining on him. Well, no cover band can rival this kind of entertainment, not even pointy chicks. And we are just locked on this developing conflict. And the crowd is so close behind Bluto, they are reaching out to grab him by his t-shirt. And he puts on a burst of speed and goes another 10 yards, and one guy tries to tackle him but falls a smidge short. Another guy reaches out and gets him by the shirt, but it tears clean off of him. And now there's Bluto, shirtless, running for the beach, and I'm thinking, bad idea. That sand is really going to slow him down, but before he makes the beach, he pivots and jumps up on that narrow, and I mean real narrow, like maybe 3-4 feet wide, that wooden dock that protrudes about 50 yards into the bay. And he's booking down that dock, and now we're wondering if maybe he's some Olympic swimmer, and he's going to do a Tarzan dive and head for England. He gets just a few feet from the end and suddenly stops and turns around and puts up his dukes. His pursuers are now lined up like ducks on that dock facing him. And there's 10 seconds or so of stillness. Nobody moves until Bluto steps forward. And he clocks the first guy and knocks him into the water with a single punch. And the next guy squares off and throws a jab at Bluto, which misses. And Bluto throws an uppercut and splash. Number 2 is down. Then bam, bam, bam. Bluto puts another 3 guys in the drink. And that's when the next one just turns around, as do his pals, and run away from Bluto. And now he's chasing them. It was one of the most amazing fights I have ever seen. The crowd was roaring. I have no idea who started it. But the only time I've ever seen one guy kick ass on multiple guys is in stupid movies. Bluto truly was a one-man gang because he forced them to fight on his terms, one at a time. When we find ourselves in that lion's den, job number 1 is to isolate one guy, one son of a bitch, preferably the leader or the one with the most to lose, and fight him. But before we do, a prayer might be a good idea, and then think. Have you already been sent a cop, a boat, or a chopper? But my friend, who was getting screwed over at work when he confronted his boss, the first thing the boss did was call for backup. Some bimbo from HR and his boss and his boss's boss. That's the way institutions operate, isn't it? They gang up on people. So the takeaways from Daniel and the Lion's Den are, 1, keep an eye on your enemies. 2, be sure you're not contributing to your own undoing. And 3, there is always one prick, one, leading the rest. Whenever possible, confront him alone and unannounced before he can whistle up backup and stack the deck in his favor. Thanks for stopping by again, folks. Be sure to join me this Tuesday for the regular episode of That Larry Show, where we're going to take a good hard look at so-called authority and the sheeple. You don't want to miss it. Patreon.com/That Larry Show. That's how to join the dojo. And ThatLarryShow@gmail.com is where to reach me. Big bonus content coming this month for Patreonies only. The book that was killed by a politician. More about that on Tuesday. Until that time, stay away from satraps.